forward to that. Carrie?
Can you please open your Bibles to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 15, and we're looking at the first 21 verses. And this is what it says. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven. And number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer, 3 years old, a female goat, 3 years old, a ram, 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, dreadful and greatness darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in the land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace and shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation. For iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your offspring, I give you this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of Kenites, the Cameronites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Well, this morning's message, Pastor titled it, He Believed God, Abram's Righteousness. Pastor.
Thank you, Carrie. And good morning!
Good morning.
It is indeed a good morning because we believe in the God of the resurrection. The God who is Jesus, the Christ of Abram. Today we will forego an introduction. We have the Lord's Supper today, so we can pray and get right into our text. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you are the God of Abram, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Jewish people, and you are our God, the God of all nations. Father, you make promises in your word, promises that you made to Abram, promises that you will fulfill to him and to us. Father, for we are children of Abraham. Father, spiritually, because we have the same faith that he had, we believe your promises. We believe in your Messiah, Jesus Christ, and what he has done for us in his life, death, and resurrection. That which we call the gospel, the good news of what Jesus Christ has done. As we continue to look at Abram's life, Abraham's life, and his faith in you and your promises, Father, help us to reflect and remember what it means to believe in you, to trust you, that you will fulfill what you have promised, both from the beginning in the book of Genesis, all through the book of Revelation, in your word to us, through the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, in the gospel. Help us believe this good news, that we are forgiven of our sins, and that through this forgiveness had in Jesus Christ, we receive the kingdom of heaven, an eternal presence with you, your Son Jesus, and your Spirit forever and ever. Not just spiritually with you, but physically with you in your kingdom. Father, with all your promises made throughout your word, Father, help us believe in these promises just as Abram did. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. God said, "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great." After Abram had finished meeting with Melchizedek, priest of the God Most High, God's word came to him in a vision and told him not to fear. God would be his shield, meaning that God would protect him from all evil. God would keep his promises to Abram so that Abram's reward would be very great. Just as Abram had just won the war with the king, and rescued his nephew Lot, God would be with him in every struggle and give him victory. God would keep his promise to bless Abram in every way, even through any difficulty. And there would be difficulties in his life. But there was nothing that Abram had to fear that could truly overcome him, because the God of the universe had chosen to reward him. Genesis 15:2-3. But Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." But the circumstances in Abram's life did not match God's promise to reward him. God had promised to give him many descendants and a great legacy. How could God extend his legacy when he did not even have a son to continue his family name. Abram's wife, Sarai, was barren and could not have a child. They were both approaching a very old age already. Abram continued childless, and the heir of his house was not even a member of his family. God had not given him a son as an heir, and it did not seem likely under the circumstances that this could happen. So Abram honestly asked God what his reward might be without an heir to continue the legacy that God was promising him. Genesis 15, 4 through 6. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him again. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And God brought Abram outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to Abram, so shall your offspring be. And Abram believed the Lord, and God counted it to him as righteousness. So behold, so see that God answered Abram's question with another word. And God's word is always true. God promised Abram that Eliezer, who was not a member of his family, would not be his heir. But instead, Abram would have his very own son who would be his heir. The promise of God hinged on the fact that God had the willingness and the power to give Abram what he promised. Abram would only have a legacy if he had a real son to continue his line. So God brought Abram outside so he could see the stars up above and told him to look towards the heavens and see the trillions of stars and galaxies in the sky. Just as God had created each star, and they could not be numbered by the human mind, so God would bless Abram with as many descendants as existed in the number of the stars. Have you ever considered the power of God to create all the stars in the heavens? The power of God to order the universe the way it is. He is the God of the living and the dead. He controls life and death. Every molecule that exists in the universe is at his command. Remember back that this is the God who made the heavens and the earth in just 6 days. He is the God who created the human race and the God who judges the heart of every one of us. When man rebelled against him, God chose one man, Noah, and destroyed all the rest of humanity in judgment. God had chosen Abram now for these blessings, and he would fulfill his promise because not only could he fulfill it, he is the God who never lies, who never breaks a promise. This was Abram's God. This is our God. And by encountering God and coming to know him, Abram had come to believe this God when he told him that he would keep his promise and that Abram would have a son. A son who would bring a legacy greater than all the stars. Abram believed God, and because of his faith in this God, God counted his faith as the righteousness that he needed to stand before him. Abram was a sinner and thus deserved the judgment of God. But Abram's righteousness came from his belief in the promise of God to bless him, the promise of God to save him from his sin. We turn to Romans 4, where we will look today briefly and look more fully next week on Easter Sunday. Romans 4, 1 through 4. Paul the Apostle tells us, "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by his own works, he has something to boast about, but not to boast about before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as that which is due him." The Apostle Paul asks us in the book of Romans, in the New Testament, what was gained by Abram, the father of the Jewish people, the father of all who believe in the God of Jesus Christ. How could Abram gain anything because of his works when he was a sinner? Abram could not be justified by his works because no human being is righteous before God because of his works. This is what Paul had just finished laying out in the first three chapters of his letter to the Romans. And because Abram's works could not make him righteous before God, how could he have anything to boast about? None of us, not even the best human being that lives, is perfect and without sin against others and against God. And not only are we not perfect like the Lord Jesus Christ, who was and is perfect and sinless, none of us even approach being truly righteous, moral people. We fail every single day to honor God as we should. There is no man whose works earn him entrance into heaven, where there is no sin, because God himself is without sin and perfectly righteous and holy, and heaven is where God is. But what does this scripture in the book of Genesis that we are studying say? Where was the righteousness of Abram? It was because of his belief in the promise of God. It was because of his faith that God would not lie to him, and that this God who could not lie was also able to keep his promise because he is God over all the heavens and the earth. But if Abram or any of us were able to earn our blessings from God because of our own moral character, our own righteousness, we would not need the free gift of God in Jesus Christ. Our entrance into heaven, into all the blessings and promises of God, would not be what we deserve. It would be what we were due from him if we were able to live righteously. But this was not possible for Abram to live this way, and it is not possible for us because of our sin. Romans 4, 5 through 8 goes on about Abram. And to the one who does not work, but believes in God, who justifies the ungodly one, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as King David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from their works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. But the one who does not try to earn the blessings of God through their own righteous works can still have the righteousness of God that they need to stand before him, even though they are ungodly and evil, as we all are. King David knew this as well as Abram did. He spoke of this righteousness that was known by Abram through faith, apart from any righteous deeds to earn it, when he wrote the 32nd Psalm. King David knew that the person who was truly blessed was not one who had never sinned, because no such man or woman exists, but the one who could be forgiven by God because of their faith and trust in him. We must have faith in the one who promises this forgiveness to the person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man who is a sinner, but who will not receive the condemnation of hell as the punishment for their sin, even though they deserve it. The Lord will not count the sins of the one who believes in his promises, the one who has faith in the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. Skipping ahead to Romans 4, 13 through 15. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through obedience to the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents to the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law itself brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. The promise to Abram and all those who would follow him in their faith in his God, as his spiritual heirs, had not come through obedience to a commandment or law, but through righteousness that comes through believing the promise of God itself. If only the people who obey the commandments of God perfectly and without sin are the ones who become the heirs of Abram, that all of us, including Abram himself, are forever lost. Faith becomes useless when we depend upon our own righteousness to receive God's promise. Because when we attempt to earn God's blessing through obedience to him, we always fail. And the result is that our sin brings his wrath. And his wrath for us means the punishment of eternal hell for our sin, and not the blessings of his promises through the forgiveness of sin and the work of his Spirit to bring us true righteousness before him. When there is salvation on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ, and not on the basis of our own obedience to God's moral requirements in his law, then transgression and sin no longer have the power to condemn us, to the punishment that we rightly deserve. So return with me next week on Easter Sunday to the book of Romans in chapter 4 to examine the faith of Abraham in his God, who has the power of the resurrection, both the resurrection of Jesus Christ and our resurrection through the power of his resurrection. Genesis 15, verses 7 and 8 go on with her story. And God said to Abram, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But Abram said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? Then Abram asked a very important question in response to the repeated promise of God that because of who God is, he will give Abram all the blessings of his promise. How can Abram know for sure that he shall possess the blessings of God that he has promised? What can reassure Abram and also reassure us that this can happen? Will we not fail in our part of the bargain and lose the promise of God because of our sin? Is the promise of God not already lost because of all the failures on our part to obey him? Genesis 15, 9 through 11. God said to Abram, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And Abram brought to God all of these animals. Then he cut these animals in half and laid each half over against the other, all in a row. But he did not cut the birds in half. And then birds of prey came down on the carcasses of the animals, but Abram drove them away. So you see, in the Old Testament period, there was a special type of oath that they gave between two parties of people called a blood covenant. This is what we see going on here. This blood covenant was an agreement between two people or two groups of people that if they did not keep the promise that they made to each other, they would face the penalty of death. By cutting sacrificial animals into two parts and walking or passing between the parts of these dead animals, as they had brought them together, as they brought together their blood covenant or blood agreement, they swore upon the penalty of death that the same death would happen to them if they did not keep the promise that they made in this covenant. If either person, either party, broke their end of the contract, they would be cut in half like the animals and die. So God instructed Abram to gather a number of animals to prepare the ritual of a blood covenant, to make certain the agreement of his promise with Abram. And upon God's instructions, Abram prepared the ritual to ratify the covenant. We see in Jeremiah 34, 18 through 20, the mention of this same type of covenant that was made by many people in Israel and the consequences of their breaking their covenant that they had made before God. Jeremiah 34, 18 through 20. And the men who had transgressed my covenant, this blood covenant, and did not keep the terms of the covenant that they made before me, I will make them like the calf that they cut in two and pass between its parts. The officials of Judah, the officials of Jerusalem, the eunuchs, the priests, and all the people of the land who pass between the parts of the calf. And I will give them, God says, into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of those who seek their lives. God says, their dead body shall be food for the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. The men who had transgressed the blood covenant that they had made before God and had not kept the promises they made before him would face the same exact fate as the calf that they had cut in half and passed in between its parts. They would face the penalty of death. Some of these men were important people, like officials and priests who had committed to this covenant. But they had lied to each other and to God and had not kept the commitments they had made in the blood covenant. And so their blood would be shed because of their sin. God would give these men who had broken the blood covenant into the hands of their enemies and those who sought to kill them. Their dead bodies would be eaten by the animals of the earth. This is a blood covenant that they had made, and they had paid the price for breaking it. Genesis 15, 12 through 14, the story of God and Abram goes on. And now, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, a dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, "Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I, God, will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions." The sun began to set, and God made a deep sleep fall upon Abram, and a dreadful and great darkness overtook him in his sleep. There was now no way that Abram could respond to God or take place in the covenant ritual that he normally would take place in. It was then, while Abram could not respond, that God spoke the words of his promise to Abram by declaring the future before it had taken place. God said to Abram that he could know for certain that his offspring, the offspring that God promised him, the people that would come from the son that God had promised, would be sojourners and strangers in a land that did not belong to, and that they would face affliction and difficulty there in that land for 400 years. But God promised that he would bring judgment on that nation, the nation of Egypt, for this affliction that they brought on Abram's people, and that in the end, this people of God, Abram's offspring, would come out of Egypt with great wealth as a result. Indeed, God said forth exactly what would happen to the descendants of Abram, the people of Israel, when they became slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Here before Abram's son Isaac was even born, God committed his plans to Abram about how he would bring about the blessings on the offspring of Abram, the people of Israel, and what he would do. God is indeed the God who not only knows the future, but plans and shapes the future. Just as God knew and planned the history of the people of Abram, the people of Israel, so God would bring about the life of his son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, so that every promise he had made to Abram would be fulfilled in its entirety, forever and ever, in Christ's kingdom. Genesis 15:15-16. As for you, Abram, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And they, your people, shall come back here to the promised land in the fourth generation. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And God told Abram that he would die in peace and be buried at a good old age. But Abram's descendants would not return to the promised land for four generations, because God would not judge the Amorites, some of the people who lived there, who inhabited this land, until the fullness of their sinfulness had come about. Genesis 15:17 to 21, the blood covenant. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces of the animals. On that day, the Lord made a blood covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, and the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. So when the sun had set over the land and darkness had taken hold, Abram witnessed the movement of a smoking firepot and a flaming torch that passed between the pieces of all these animals so that the blood covenant would be complete. God made this blood covenant with Abram that he would give the land of Israel, the promised land, to Abram's offspring, the land that belonged to many other peoples at the time. God made this blood covenant, this promise, to Abram on penalty of his death. But can God, who is immortal, die? Abram was unable to pass between the animals so that he would not hold any responsibility for keeping this covenant. Only God himself would keep this unconditional promise to Abram and all his descendants who would trust in him with the same faith that he had, those who would be his spiritual offspring. But there would truly be a penalty of death for all who would sin against God. Every single man and woman who has ever sinned against God, including all of us here listening right now, faces the penalty of eternal death in hell because of our sin. This is the penalty of death because of another broken covenant, the covenant of God's law that we are obligated to keep because we are his creation. Yet, incredibly, that penalty of death that we deserve has been taken by God himself, just as he promised he would in this blood covenant, should anyone break the promise that God himself made this day before Abram. Jesus Christ, who is God himself, died on the cross to take the penalty of sin in the place of all who would trust in his promises. All who have faith in the perfect, righteous life of Jesus Christ and the price of his death that he paid when he took the wrath of the Father, the punishment of hell, on the cross, will be saved from the penalty of a broken covenant, the death that they deserve because they have broken the covenant of God. We have broken the covenant of God. But next week, come back to remember the glory of our God, Jesus Christ, the God of Easter Sunday, who, when he paid the penalty of a broken covenant and died on the cross, did not remain dead. For God cannot truly die, and the power of the resurrection would 3 days later return Jesus Christ to physical life that would last forever, as he is the God of the universe. Abram, or Abraham, believed in the God of the resurrection, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Abram was fully convinced that God was able to do as he had promised, the God who never lies. And Abram's faith in God was counted by God as the righteousness he needed to enter God's kingdom. Thus, our application today is simple. Believe in the God of the resurrection, the God of Easter Sunday, as Abram did. And come to church next Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ with us on Easter Sunday. So let us pray. Dear God, you are the God of the resurrection. You have the power to bring about every promise that you make. Not only do you make a blood promise to us that you will die if you do not keep the promise of our salvation and the promise of your kingdom in heaven. You even die, even though you do not violate your covenant, You die for us because we have violated your covenant. You became a man in Jesus Christ so that you could die for us, so that we could not fail to receive your promise. You guaranteed your promise to Abram and to his offspring, and we are his offspring if we believe as he did. Help us to trust and believe in this God, that even though we are sinners and we deserve the penalty of hell eternally, instead we might receive the eternal blessing of heaven in your promises, God, through faith in you, believing that you are willing and able to do as you said you will for us when we believe. Help us believe. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.